rookie. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine.
So, it's 1984, and I was starting high school, and, you know, I was the kind of kid in 1984 that had read 1984 already, and gotten enough of it to know that some of it was kind of coming true a little bit, maybe a little later than, you know, everybody thought, but kind of the main thing that made this clear to me is that, you know, I was raised in a very rural area. I was raised in a Mormon family. And I was this little queer kid, this little pre-op tranny. Yeah. I was being watched. So, yeah, you know, and the thing is, you know, being raised Mormon, I think, basically meant that we were Scandinavians who didn't drink. Which is really frightening, frankly. But anyway, so one of the other things that kind of made this problematic is that, you know, my mother wasn't quite yet wheelchair-bound. She has multiple sclerosis and has for quite a while now. And so, you know, she could wheel around the house. She didn't really have a lot to do. She was a dancer originally, and so, of course, I'm sure had a lot of buried anger that kind of fueled her as she'd wheeled around the house looking for things that I was doing wrong. As the older model child, because of course I was a model child. And, well, I was definitely obsessed with music as well. And, you know, I had to find ways to sneak things past her. So I was taking like these motivational tapes, you know, be a good person. Get your success now, you know, these Amway tapes, this kind of thing. We had a lot of that shit just laying around. And so I would like sneak around and I'd tape like, ooh, Scorpions Love at First Sting. That's on that one. And then the Violent Femmes. And it was really hard remembering which one was which, frankly, in those days. Because my other secret is I'm a little bit OCD. And so it was a really glorious day that I could finally start buying real live pre-recorded tapes. I had discovered Columbia House. Awesome. Because then I could sneak all that shit right through the front door in a plain bound wrapper and nobody knew. So, well, my prized possession was the Prince tape, Purple Rain. Now, if you know this record, you don't need me to explain to you that this is like a 45-minute orgasm, this whole record. There's nothing like it, frankly. It's just so loud and violent and sexual, and I didn't really understand it. I was barely aware of my own sexuality, much less anybody else's at that point. But I did know pretty much at that point that I was queer and I was probably a trans person, blah, 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 blah. You can look that up on the internet later. I'll come to your school or house and give a workshop. Because there's a lot of things to it, you know, anyway. So I had to keep things really, really secret. You know, in addition to like the secret tapes, I had like written out these like elaborate fantasies that I would promptly destroy. These little like stories. I was walking home from school, and these people kidnapped me and said, "Why don't you live as a girl?" And then I was happy, you know. And then I would rip it up and destroy it. Yeah, like that. And. Anyway, because you know, I had to keep these things secured and hidden, and suddenly, I don't know what programs my mother was watching on the television, but suddenly she started venturing into my little Columbia House collection, and she started having these impromptu lecture sessions. I'd come home from school, and she'd accost me and corner me and say, "Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms, what could that possibly mean? The Cure? The Cure for what?" "I don't know, Mom. Did you like Mr. Pink Eye? That song's awesome." Anyway, because it is. And, oh my Lord. So, I just totally lost my train of thought thanks to those jingle bells. Anyway. Just like in that Bangles cover of Hazy Shade of Winter. But anyway, so she would accost me, and I'd have to answer for these things, and it never occurred to me to be like, "Well, Dad has a copy of Santana's Abraxas," which, you gotta see that album cover. It could never really occur to me to try to defend myself that way. I would just try to keep it secure, keep it on the straight and narrow so I could get out and then find my freedom with those people who would kidnap me, those dirty hippies who would kidnap me in their VW van and be really happy forever, ever, and after. And so as these lectures started happening, I realized that my beloved Prince tape was really gonna get me into trouble, because I could explain away everything else, you know? Everything else was kind of shrouded in metaphor. Even the stuff on that Prince record, you know, that When Doves Cry, that sweaty kiss that they have in When Doves Cry, it's still just a kiss, right? But darling Nikki, she was masturbating. And truth be told, I didn't even think girls were possibly able to do that at that point, if you believe the Mormon thing. But anyway, so I realized that I needed to sacrifice that song. And, you know, because I had already been a taper and I already learned how to tape over things, I took my little Prince tape, put it in my boombox, and I erased it. Now, if you know the record, you know that it's mixed in directly with the song right before it, Computer Blue. It's just one long thing. And being OCD and realizing that I would need to explain away if there was like another song coming on and she heard it and she needed to, you know, I needed to defend myself. I just need to make it like it was never there. It was never there. It was never there. It was never there. And so it probably took me all afternoon just like going back and forth, rolling it back just a little bit and erasing just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, until there was just like the very, very hint of the beginning of it to remind me that it was there. So that's what I did. And the Prince lecture never came. Years later, when I finally went to college, I went down to Penny Lane in Westwood, and after a second and a half of remorse, I sold that tape. Traded it in for a CD, and it was like I had never missed a beat.